Thank you for everyone who took part this morning, from Mary for introducing us, the people on the sound, and Judy for doing worship. Jim, the children's story, almost made me cry listening to Jim's children's story, because once again, the Holy Spirit, I think, puts everything together. I mean, it seemed to be confirmation that what I have written down here is what God wants me to talk about. But he gave me one word, and that word was anticipation. Anticipation means to look forward to. So I wanted to start with a little interaction this morning. What are some things you anticipate in life? What are some things you look forward to?
Grandchildren.
Okay, you beat Judy to saying that one, huh? Was that what you were going to say, Mike? Boy, we must all be the same age, huh? What else do we look forward to?
Dying in heaven.
How about some of you younger people here? What do you look forward to this time of year? Oh, that's a really young person there that spoke up. Christmas gifts. What? Any other ideas? What we look forward to? Family getting together. Yeah. Oh, rub it in, Colleen. The grandchildren all coming home. Retiring. Paying. Yeah, payday would be more appropriate, Chuck, probably. But there's a lot of things we anticipate in life. And as I thought about it, it might be, if you're into sports, it might be a big soccer game you get to play in, or a baseball game, basketball game. We look forward to maybe watching a football game, if it's a Super Bowl or something like that, and your team's in it. I had to think, I just asked Judy this morning, 27 years ago to the date, Judy was about 1.5 months pregnant with our first child. Do you anticipate the birth of your first child? The birth of a child, isn't that an exciting time, something you look forward to? And I had to think of Christmas. For you younger ones here, you were too afraid to say it, but thanks, Bobby, for saying that. Gifts. I can remember being a little kid, and I remember we didn't get a lot of gifts like we do today. I don't know if anyone can relate to that. But I remember someone had given me a set of pickup sticks. I got them from church. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. And this was a collared set of pickup sticks, so each collar was worth... Does some of you young ones know what pickup sticks are? Okay. It's when you take a pile of sticks and you just dump them down. You got to pick up sticks without moving. And if every one you pick up, you can keep if nothing moves. And these were colored, so every one was worth a different point value. And there was a black one that was worth the most. And there was only one of those. And I took this black pickup stick, and I was getting my gifts when nobody was around. I was rubbing it against the paper to see if I could peek through to see what I was getting. I was probably about Kate's age, maybe, when I was doing this. And I broke the most valuable stick. And that was hard for me because you don't get a lot of games. And that was the most important stick. And I remember trying to tape it together, and it just didn't work. You know, but there's things like that. When we were down with Charis and Ian, they had a little thing under their television, had blocks that you could turn. It said, days till Christmas. We look forward to that day of Christmas. And what are some other things I'd written here? Now, I can remember one year that I guess I saw it in a magazine. I wanted a cowboy and Indian set. It was like in a little case, and you'd open it up, and you could play with it. And I told my parents about this, and that's the only thing I wanted for Christmas, and I couldn't wait for Christmas morning to open my gifts and see if I got it. Well, I opened all my gifts, and I didn't get it. But the next year, I had just as much anticipation, hoping I'd get it, and I didn't get it again. And then by the third year, I was expecting or looking, anticipating something else, and I got the cowboy and Indian set, and it wasn't that big of a deal because I didn't want it that year. But as I thought about anticipation, and in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, if you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're in a season of Advent, and the word Advent means arrival or coming into being. And as we talk about anticipating maybe your first child, for those of you who have children, and we anticipate looking forward maybe to gifts at Christmas. Those are some of the things we do with Jesus Christ, as we anticipate the time when we celebrate his coming into this world, when we celebrate his birth. But I asked some of the youth if they would lead us in devotions this morning. So I think Megan's going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 38, if you want to follow along, and then Seth's going to open us in prayer.
Hold. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel and the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband several years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem.
Dear Lord, help us to prepare for you coming. Help us to look for you and to have our hearts set on you. And be with us today as Scott's delivering the message about you. And help us to receive it and apply it. Amen.
Thank you. We don't know a whole lot about these two people, Simeon and Anna. This is the only scripture in the Bible about these two people, and it's very short. But I wanted to look at the life of Simeon this morning and the example that he leaves for us. I have seven things, I think, that we can pattern our lives after what it tells us about Simeon in Scripture. And the first thing we see in verse 25, it says that Simeon was a righteous man. The easiest way I can define righteous would be to say right living. Living your life in a moral way. I think Simeon was a moral person. I think he lived his life trying to follow God's commandments and what God wanted him to do in his life, as opposed to doing what he wanted to do. I believe that he was fair in the way he would have treated other people. I think he would have been a trustworthy guy. If you had someone that you wanted to hold some cash so that he'd be there when you came back a year later, I think he'd be the guy to give it to. I think he was a trustworthy guy. He was honest, and he was truthful. And I had to think about our lives. Do we live our lives the right way? Are we living our lives the way the Lord wants us to? I had to think a couple weeks ago, someone came into the store, and this happens actually pretty often. Their bill might have been $10 and change, and they gave me a 20 and a 1, thinking they gave me a 10 and a 1. It would have been very easy for me to take a $10 bill there. I mean, and that happens all the time with people. But, you know, God doesn't want us to live our life that way. He wants us to be truthful and honest, and we need to be acting the same way Monday as we do on Sunday, the same day Tuesday. And that's not always an easy thing to do, but I think that's a challenge for us to follow the life of Simeon. I think he was a guy that did that. He always tried to do what God wanted him to do. And I think in Jewish terms, he would have followed the law to a T as much as he was able to when it talks about being a righteous person. It also says in verse 25, he was righteous and devout. Devout means that I think he was sincere in the way that he worshiped the Lord. He was sincere and tried to follow everything that God had asked him to do. And I think it brought him great joy. And I think he had a life of joy and worship. He wanted to do things the way God wanted him to do. And I think he devoted his worship and his service to the Lord. That's what devout means. It means that you're devoting your worship and service to something. And he was devoting that to the Lord. So do we spend time worshiping the Lord on a daily basis? We're doing it this morning. But when we're singing a song, are we thinking about how pretty it sounds, or are we thinking about how awesome God is? You know, we need to be devout in our worship of the Lord, just as Simeon was. Also in verse 25, it says that, my translation says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. I think he was a patient person. Are we a patient people here this morning? I don't know how many times I told or griped to my wife when we're traveling on the road and somebody goes flying past you and then cuts in front of you and drives about 10 miles slower than you're traveling with the cruise control on. You know, we tend to be very impatient in the way we treat people and the way we live our lives. Simeon was waiting for the Messiah. The consolation of Israel, when you console somebody, what do? You kind of comfort them. You try to make them feel better. Israel was living in an occupied territory. They were being occupied as a people. They needed their Messiah to come and bring consolation to them. They needed to be feel good and have comfort in their lives. And so they were looking for a Messiah that would come and do that. And here we see that Simeon was very patiently waiting for this person to come. How patient are we when it comes to waiting? The fourth thing, and maybe I'm reading a little bit between the lines here, is I think Simeon had a good relationship with the Lord. Verse 25 says that, let me find it here, the Holy Spirit was upon him. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. The word used here is epi, which is very unusual in the New Testament to read this before Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him. In verse 26, it says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And so he had to have a good relationship with the Lord because he was understanding and he was speaking with the Holy Spirit. He was communing with God and he was understanding what was being said. Sometimes I think we have a hard time understanding if when we feel a prompting in our lives, if it's the Holy Spirit or is it something I want to do. If you feel like you should go visit somebody, is that the Holy Spirit speaking or is that something that you just think you should do? Well, as we interact with the Holy Spirit and we spend time on a daily basis, those things will come a little bit more naturally. And I know I don't always get it right, and sometimes I blow it because I don't go right away when the Holy Spirit asks me to do something. But the Holy Spirit is a person that lives inside of us and we need to spend time with on a daily basis so we can have that better relationship with the Lord that's like Simeon had. And the other thing I see is that he was obedient. Because what does the Holy Spirit tell him to do in verse 27, I believe? Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, the Holy Spirit had promised him that he would see the Messiah before he died. What do you think would have happened if he wouldn't have been obedient? I often wonder, you know, would he have still seen, you know, Jesus before he had died if he hadn't been obedient to what God was asking him to do? The Holy Spirit was telling him to go to the temple courts because that was the time he was going to meet and see his Savior. When the Holy Spirit asks us to do something, are we obedient? And if we aren't obedient, do we miss a blessing that God has in store for us? The sixth thing I see about Simeon, and I think this is a given, is that he loved the Lord. If we look at the verses 28 through 32, when Simeon came into the temple, I think he knew who Jesus was right away. There's a lot of scholars that try to determine who this Simeon guy actually was. It doesn't really tell us anything about him other than what type of person he was. It doesn't tell us if he was a priest, if he was a high priest. Doesn't tell us his lineage. Because what was important in his life, I think, is how he lived his life, not who he was. But some people might think that this was a man that Joseph and Mary were taking their baby to, baby Jesus, to have him dedicated, basically. We don't know that for sure. He may have been, but whatever the case, I think Simeon knew right away when he saw Jesus that this was the Messiah. And we see that he takes him and lifts him up. And he just is overflowing, I think, with joy and love for his heavenly Father. And he's just praising and rejoicing, if you look at what he says there in those verses. I think it was an awesome thing to come bodily into the presence of the Messiah for Simeon. And he was waiting patiently. He was anticipating this day, I think, for years probably before it happened. And now the day was here, and I think he was just overflowing with his love for the Lord and so happy to see this. And he says in verse here, he says he's ready to die. You now dismiss your servant in peace. Verse 29, he's ready to die and spend eternity with his Father in heaven now because he had lived long enough to see the Messiah as he had been promised. And so I think we just see his love and his joy for the Lord in those verses. The last thing we see about Simeon, the seventh thing, is that he was given a gift by the Lord, wasn't he? He had the gift of prophecy. If we look through some of these verses, we see some things. He kind of had a ministry gift of prophecy, I think. He was foretelling what's going to happen. He saw what Jesus was going to do, and he was speaking that out. He was going to bring salvation for the Jews. I think most people would have realized the Messiah, the Jews would have realized that. But the next thing he says in verse 32, I believe it is, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. He was going to bring salvation to the Gentiles, to all people. That would have been a new concept for the Jewish people. But he was prophesying that that was going to happen. He talks about seeing the rise and falling of many in Israel. There's a scripture in Peter. Are you ready to read that, Megan? Megan has a scripture from 1 Peter 2, 5 and 8. And this is a very familiar scripture, but I think this goes along with seeing the rising and falling of many in Israel. Go ahead and read that if you have it, Megan.
You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word which they were appointed.
When he's talking about the rising and falling of many, it made me think of this scripture. Thanks for making it through that, Megan. Jesus can be a cornerstone, or he can be a stumbling stone. What does that mean? As Christians, Jesus needs to be the foundation for our lives. Needs to be the foundation of our faith. And if we have a problem with that, if we want to do what we want and not what he wants, I think he'd become a stumbling stone, which happened to a lot of the leaders of the Jewish people, the religious leaders. They didn't want to give up their power. They didn't want God to be in control. They wanted to be in control. So we need to make sure that Jesus is a cornerstone of our lives. Verse 35, he prophesies, I believe, a little about the pain and suffering that Mary was going to experience later in her life when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And he also says in verse 35 that Jesus would know men's hearts. Jesus knows our hearts, doesn't he? When we talk about getting to know our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, in a better way, and we have to spend time with him, Jesus already knows our hearts. We need to spend time so we get to know his and what he wants us to be doing in life. Those were the seven things that I had seen in Simeon's life that we need in our life. And then we move on, the last couple of scriptures that Anna had read, that Megan had read, and we see this lady Anna. And it does talk about her, tells where she came from. She was also a prophet. She had the gift of prophecy. It says she was a prophetess. But the one thing that really sticks out about Anna was that she was old. I mean, it talks about, some people translate the original Greek as that she was 84 years old at this time, and some people translate that she might have been a widow for 84 years, which would have made her close to 100 years probably or more. But if we take all the things that we can learn from Simeon, and I think all those things would have been in Anna's life as well. But the one thing I see about Anna is that she was a worshiper. She worshiped the Lord day and night. It says she spent day and night at the temple. The temple was where God lived. And she never left the temple, worshiping day and night. Where does God live today? Does he still live in the temple? Does he live in the firehouse here? You know, if we're Christians, there's a piece of God inside of all of us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. So we don't have to be in a building all the time to be worshiping. We can worship when we're at work. We can worship when we're eating supper. It's a matter of getting our minds focused on Jesus and what he wants us to be doing with our lives. That's something I think that is so precious that Anna did. And we can learn from Anna and be worshipers like she was. Anticipation was a word that I think God spoke to me that we should talk about this morning. And I thought that went along well with what Jim shared with his children's story. You know, we need to be excited about things. We need to be in anticipation of things that are going to happen. And there's three areas of anticipation that I think we might have covered at least two of them, probably all of them this morning. But we anticipate right now, 2 weeks from today is Christmas. We anticipate the time when we can celebrate Jesus Christ coming as a babe in Bethlehem many years ago. He wasn't necessarily born December 25th, but that's a day we set aside to worship him and to remember and to anticipate what he did for us. The second thing I think we need to be in anticipation about is what Chris mentioned when I asked about what do you anticipate? Spending eternity with our Heavenly Father. Spending eternity with God Almighty in heaven. That's something for us to anticipate and look forward to, isn't it? The third thing, this is interesting, isn't it? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We talked about the Father and Son. The third thing I think we need to anticipate, and I think this goes along with the children's story, is we need to daily anticipate what the Holy Spirit's going to do in our life that day. We need to anticipate, what's he going to show me new today? Or maybe what can we look at in a new way that we always looked at in other ways? What does God have in store for you Monday morning when you get up? What's the Holy Spirit going to prompt you to do? What new thing is the Holy Spirit going to show you? We need to be anticipating spending time with the Holy Spirit every day of our life, not just on Sundays. There's a lot to anticipate, isn't there? And maybe things change as we get older, from anticipating what am I going to get for Christmas to maybe what can I give others. And isn't it a joy even when you watch your kids open presents, or probably grandkids is even more of a joy to see that. But let's anticipate the gifts that we can give others through the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We're going to close this morning, if you want to get ready, guys, with a song, Mary, Did You Know?